Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 152, Disc Golf. It's amazing and you should try it.
And so I played it, of course, with lots of woods. And so it really changes the way that the course can be set up, because there's so many new obstacles with the trees, and trying to get that disc into a really small gap between a couple of trees down the fairway along the slope of a mountain, something like that, that different courses can really make it interesting as you start to expand a little bit.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from Outside Health and Fitness, and thank you for joining me for another episode. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, rolf, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, we love it. So if you're like us and you like to have fun outside, then you found the right place. You know, one of my passions is disc golf. I play every chance I get. It's an inexpensive and fun way to be active outside. It's something virtually anyone can play, and it's totally addicting. Although I've talked a lot about it on the show, I've never dedicated a show to disc golf, so I thought I would. And I'm really excited to have John Groen on the show. John is an avid disc golfer and runs Disc Golf From a Coastie's Perspective.blogspot.com, where he shares tips, reviews, and other information about the sport. If you've ever wondered what those people are doing throwing frisbees at see-through versions of R2-D2, you'll want to check out today's show. On today's show, you'll discover how easy it is to get started, tips for equipment, skills, courses, and why disc golf is one of the fastest-growing recreational sports in the U.S.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
If you've ever wondered exactly what it is, disc golf is a game played using the same general set of rules as traditional golf. Your mission is to complete an 18-hole course in the fewest strokes or throws possible. The big differences are found in the equipment and the courses themselves. In disc golf, discs and elevated metal baskets are used in place of the clubs, balls, and holes used in traditional golf. Courses can be wide open like traditional golf courses, or more wooded, with trees and other terrain making the path to the basket even more challenging. It's estimated that between 8 and 12 million people have played disc golf at least once worldwide, and the sport is gaining in popularity with new players and courses popping up all the time. As I said earlier, I'm excited to welcome John to the show and have him share some tips, techniques, and insights with you and I about this amazing sport. All right. Well, John, I'm excited to have you on the show. I think you're my first disc golf interview, so I'm really psyched about this. Talk a little bit about how did you discover disc golf? What got you into it?
So I'm from a town called Denton, Texas, and there's a course just right there called North Lakes. And so some of my friends played, and my senior year of high school for Christmas, I got a few discs as some Christmas presents. And so then I talked to my friends that had already played a few times. And so we started going out and just really got into it and started to fall in love with the sport and just kind of kept going from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just got started playing with some friends. Had you heard of it before?
Briefly, not too much. I would drive by the course and I saw people throwing frisbees around, but I just thought they were a bunch of bunch of goofballs throwing frisbees at chains. It didn't really make much sense until I started out. So
yeah. You have a site now where you share disc golf reviews and things like that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So it's called Disc Golf From Coastie's Perspective. And I started out about a month ago. Mm-hmm. So I'll just go through and I'll write reviews of different discs that I use and really enjoy. It's just some different collection of reviews on discs and then just thoughts on the sport as well.
Nice. Now, what kind of advice do you give to somebody that is kind of like you were and I was at one point, driving by and going like, what are those knuckleheads doing throwing those discs around? Maybe I want to give it a try. What kind of advice do you give to a beginner like that?
So the biggest thing would just be to try and get a group of friends to go with that. Mm-hmm. If you know anyone that plays already, and if not, the nice thing about disc golf is that disc golfers in general are really welcoming and really social, willing to help people out. So usually there's a local club, something like that, that you contact somebody and play with some people that have an idea of what's going on so you can learn a little bit. Yeah. But that would be the main thing. Just try and get some people that, have a little bit of experience or, someone who can help you out, just the basics, since it isn't something that most people are familiar with. Mm-hmm. And so it helps to have some sort of starting point there.
Right. It's a nice game because, even from the very beginning, you can play, right? Even before you really know what you're doing, you can still have a good time. What about the equipment? What would you recommend for someone that's starting out in terms of, do you need like a whole slew of discs or just a couple of discs, or what do you do with that?
So it's set up, they've got a speed scale for each disc. It goes from 0 up until the highest that I've ever seen is 15. Mm-hmm. And so they're designed and broken up into groups just at the most basic level. You got drivers, mid-ranges, and putters. So the biggest thing is just that people who haven't played very much before aren't going to have the technique or the arm speed to throw something that's supposed to be thrown by a professional disc golfer that'll go 500 feet. Right. So it's a good idea to start out with something that is maybe mid-range or something that is a pretty slow rating on the speed scale so that they can control it and just gradually work up from there. That's one of the biggest things.
These discs are different than what someone might normally think of as a Frisbee, right?
So the biggest thing is just that they're designed to be more aerodynamic. So if you were to look at a normal Frisbee, it's shaped to where it's pretty much the same thickness throughout the whole disc. And so it's going to fly pretty slow. It's going to glide along and it's soft on the edges. It's rounded off so that it's easy to catch. Mm-hmm. But a disc golf disc, it's going to be set up to where it's supposed to be able to fly as far as possible. So it is really, really aerodynamic, almost looks like a point on the edges. They're also a lot smaller width wise because they're compact and the diameter of the disc is a little bit smaller than just your everyday Frisbee that you would see flying around. So it definitely would not feel good if you tried to catch one of those discs that was flying at you really fast. So
yeah, absolutely. What about some of the things that you have discovered along the way or skills that you've gained that have helped improve your game? How can you talk about some of those, some things that maybe someone that's just starting out might want to, over time, kind of start thinking about doing some of these things?
Yeah, so one of the big things is that if you were to play, not disc golf, but just regular ultimate Frisbee, which is what most people's first exposure to a Frisbee sport would be, the classic way to throw a Frisbee is the backhand, which is where, for a right-handed player, they're going to throw kind of from their back shoulder and then throw it forward. Mm-hmm. Just the regular classic way to throw a Frisbee, but pretty much any disc golf disc, when thrown like that, it's going to fade off to the left at the end of the flight. Yeah. And so if you learn to throw a forehand, which is going to be the opposite direction of the throw, as opposed to coming around that shoulder, it's just going to be a flick on the right side for a right-handed player. That will fade to the opposite side, so the disc will go off to the right at the end of its flight. And so it really opens up a lot of different possibilities for shots that a disc golfer can take. And so that's one of the things that once someone has played for just a little bit, that can really help out a lot, is trying to develop that shot also.
Right. And you develop that shot as just kind of like a mid-range shot first and then work up to being able to drive that way, or do you?
Yeah. So most pros would normally drive with the regular backhand, but there are some people who just never really get comfortable with that. And mm-hmm. so some people have found that it's easier to drive with that forehand, but especially starting out, it's going to be a little bit of a funky feel. And so most people just start out throwing just as practice shots, and then the workout to throw in shorter shots that are just mid-range approach shots, things like that. And so it takes a while to get comfortable to where someone would be driving with a forehand like that and trying to throw as far as possible.
Right. There's quite a bit of skill involved here once you start getting into this, right? I mean, I know initially you look at it and you kind of go, what do? You throw a Frisbee at a basket and you try to get there as fast as you can. But when you start getting into it, you find out that there's all sorts of different techniques and things like that. Can you talk about a few of those?
Yeah. So the disc is going to fly differently with the different releases. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to go a little bit more to the left if the disc is angled down to where the left side of the disc is lower when it's thrown, or it could potentially fly to the right a little bit if the left side is higher when it's released. So there's just all sorts of different ways that the disc can be angled and the disc can be thrown that'll adjust the way that it curves as it's flies through the air. So
yeah, we've done some, I don't even know if this is what they call it or not, but it's almost like a tomahawk kind of a throw. When you're really tight in the trees, so you can kind of just kind of slice and then it'll flip over onto its back. Talk about some of the different courses that you've played at. I know you kind of review courses on your blog too. Where have you played? What do you like for courses? What kind of different courses are available for people to play disc golf?
Yeah. So the course that I grew up at in my hometown, there was only one. It was called North Lakes, and that was just right mm-hmm. there in Denton, Texas. But the nice thing about starting to play in Texas was that there were tons of different options around, because especially being in an area with a lot of colleges, usually that age group tends to play disc golf a little bit more than just your average population.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different areas just around the Dallas-Fort Worth part of Texas. And then going down towards Texas A&M a little bit, there's lots of options. But it's cool because the course that I started out at was very open, long holes. There weren't too many different obstacles. There was a little creek running through, but that was about it. But it's been really interesting as I've been in different areas, that if you're playing at a course that's in the middle of the woods and there's trees all over the place, I played one just this past week for Thanksgiving. I was with some relatives up in New York State. And so I played at a course with lots of woods. And so it really changes the way that the course can be set up, because there's so many new obstacles with the trees, and trying to just get that disc into a really small gap between a couple of trees down the fairway, things like that. So it really makes it fun, that, or maybe playing along the slope of a mountain, something like that, that different courses can really make it interesting as you start to expand a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. We have up here in Maine, we have a lot of wooded courses. I mean, we have a few that are open, but most of them are right smack dab in the woods. And you're right, it's a lot of fun. I mean, just trying to, it's fun and frustrating, I guess, because sometimes you hit a tree and it works in your favor, and sometimes it doesn't. But most of the time, for me, it doesn't. But why do you think that people get so addicted to this game?
I think that the coolest part of it is that it's really relaxed and the atmosphere is different than most sports. So obviously, there's no competitive disc golf leagues in high school or junior high growing up. It's not like baseball, football, any of those things where it's really part of that culture growing up, where people get really competitive with it. And so it's much more of a relaxed sport where people are going out trying to have a good time, getting to know people. If you run into a group that has some people that you've never played before, never met, even if there's just totally random strangers, lots of times people will join groups and get to know each other, have a good conversation. You know, most of them are outside at parks or around lakes or in the woods, just really nice places to play.
Yeah.
And so it can be pretty enjoyable because it's something that's just, there's not a lot of stress because it's not something that people grow up being real competitive with. And so it's just a time to go out and have fun as opposed to being nervous about having a great round or being successful in that way. So it's nice.
You're on the East Coast, is that right?
Yes.
Like me. So do you play through the winter?
I've played in the snow back home before, but up here, there's not as many courses in general, the area that I'm at right now.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit tougher, but playing in the winter is more something to do just to have a little bit of fun, or if I get, bored, or if I've been away from it for too long and I just really feel like going out and playing around. But it definitely makes a lot trickier because it's harder to hold the disc and grip it right when your hands are cold, maybe a little bit numb. So I've had a lot of fun playing rounds in the snow before, but it definitely is something that can't be taken too seriously because it can be real tricky. So.
Yeah, I bet. This year we're trying to see how far we can go. I mean, we played last weekend, and if our luck holds out, we're going to play this weekend. So we're going to try to see how, can we get into January, February? Because usually once it starts getting cold, I'm kind of with you. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to go play, but man, it's cold out there.
Yep.
Can't seem to figure out how to throw it with a glove on either. So anything else that you'd like to talk about before we close out?
it's just been really cool to get to talk about the sport. It's pretty fun. So it's been cool as I've started trying to blog about it, that it's just given me an opportunity to get much deeper into the sport, learn a lot more. So it's been interesting just to see how many different people are involved and how many different small companies are starting up and how fast the sport's growing. It's just it's a really neat opportunity and it's a cool time to be getting involved with it. So
yeah, absolutely. And I'll make sure to have a link to your blog in the show notes for this episode too. I popped over here today just to kind of look around. It looks really cool. You've got some great stuff there. I'm looking forward to kind of going through and reading some of this stuff myself. Improve my game. Awesome. Well, John, thanks a lot. It's been great talking to you and having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was really fun.
I hope you got some value from the show today and got inspired to try disc golf for the first time or get out there and throw the disc around. As you know, this show is free, but if you would like to show your support and become a patron, I would deeply appreciate it. Even a few dollars a month goes a long way. In fact, I've set up some really cool rewards for patrons of the show at your Patreon page as a way of saying thank you. So check them out at outsidehealthandfitness.com/support, and thank you so much for helping out. You can also find a link to your Patreon support page in the show notes for this episode. Just visit outsidehealthandfitness.com/152. You get links to everything we talked about on the show today and your free copy of Fit Fast First Thing, my Tabata morning workout for a quick 10-minute routine you can use to start your day off right. It's a perfect way to stay in shape for your next round of disc golf. Visit outsidehealthandfitness.com/152. I'm Steve Stearns. Thank you again for listening. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. I hope you got something of value from the show today that helps you get outside and in shape. For more on taking your health and fitness outside, visit outsidehealthandfitness.com and subscribe to the show. Until next time, I'll see you outside.